Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Accessing healthcare in South Dakota is a challenge, perhaps only met with collaboration, insight, and significant funding. The Leona M. and Harry B. Helmsley Charitable Trust has named Mitch Krebs as its new director of the Rural Healthcare Program. Mitch Krebs has been a television news anchor, press secretary for then-Governor Mike Rounds. He's also worked for Avera and Poet, and he joins us now from SDPB's Sioux Falls studio. Mitch Krebs, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having me, Lori. I got the chance to see the new studio for the first time. This is awesome.
It's a very exciting space. Yeah. It's an exciting time for South Dakota and an exciting time for you, too, as you take on this new challenge and opportunity. What made you want to say yes to this?
You know, when you have the opportunity to go to work for an organization like the Helmsley Charitable Trust, a group that does nothing but good things for people, it's pretty amazing when you think about all the lives that have been saved and all the lives that have been changed across South Dakota and the Upper Midwest through the Rural Healthcare Program through Helmsley. It was an easy choice to find out, you know, to be part of something like this. It's an opportunity that doesn't come along very often, and I'm very blessed to have it.
And this is a question that comes up frequently, and I sort of love some of the background of it, but why rural healthcare for the Helmsley Trust? This is sort of something that was a long-time interest.
Well, when Leona Helmsley passed away, she and her husband had built up a very large estate, and she left all of the money, the bulk of her money, to form this charitable trust. And at the time, there were five trustees who got together and determined which areas of need were greatest. And one of the areas of great need was healthcare in rural areas, and particularly the Upper Midwest, because there's an interesting statistic that goes along with how this happened up here. The Rockefeller Philanthropy study from 2009 looked at 2007. And in the Upper Midwest, $65 million in grant money was given to healthcare in our area up here. And about 1.3% of the entire nation's grants for healthcare came to this area. 80% of that money went to Minnesota, with about half of that going to Mayo.
Right.
Translate that over to South Dakota, which got less than 1% at about $500,000. So all that money that's out there, all those rural health, all those healthcare grants, were not coming to rural areas. So the need was established here. And since then, you know, in the last several years, we've given $377 million to those seven states, $100 million just in South Dakota.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of difference.
So it's a deep need, but also a deep opportunity to see a really big impact, because the ground has not yet even been laid in some places.
Correct. And that's, you know, the great thing about what the Helmsley Trust does after identifying those needs is coming in, and we're not an organization that just writes checks and walks away. We're true partners in these healthcare initiatives that we create. We work through the process of getting them set up. We work through the process of working with the grantees through the not just the grant period, but afterwards, to make sure that whatever gets started is sustainable, it continues to provide those benefits and better rural healthcare to the folks that don't normally have it.
So do you largely work with structures that already exist locally? What talk about the collaborations. Who are the collaborations with when you're looking for a successful partnership?
Well, successful partnerships means finding successful partners. Sometimes that's, you know, community access hospitals, it's larger systems, it's clinics, it's wherever that need is. We identify those partners that can best achieve what we want to do with those programs and help them get there. So it's across the board, seven states and, you know, gosh, hundreds and hundreds of partners.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about what your specific role will be.
My specific role will be overseeing a team of four people who are program officers who basically have portfolios of these different grants. And that's after the need is identified, then we put the grants together, operationalize them, work with the partners, and make those projects happen.
All right, long term.
Long term.
So not writing a check and walking out the door. Give
Correct.
Me an example of what that looks like. It's something that's already sort of being, where do you want to start?
You know, one area would be, you know, the e-care system through Avera. You know, they had I happened to be working at Avera about 10 years ago when this was sort of in its infancy, where they had this vision of bringing better healthcare to rural areas through telemedicine. In other words, for people who don't know much about that, it's being on the other side of a camera and a doctor can do diagnostic tests, and you can get in front of a specialist if you live in Phillips, South Dakota, and you're having a heart attack or something like that where there's not a cardiologist right there. You can get in front of a TV camera, you have a doctor on the other end, and provide the basically the same kind of healthcare, mm-hmm. and the diagnostic approach and some of those things of seeing someone face to face from, you know, 100, 200 miles away. Jump ahead to today. So the vision back then was to create these different portals to make that system work. And now it's across South Dakota where, you know, you can literally not go in and see a doctor, get quality healthcare. There's technology that goes with it. There's going to be a new kit that comes out that's going to be available to everyday people from Best Buy, where if you tap into one of these portals through telemedicine, the doctor can, on the other end, mm-hmm. can get your heart rate, listen to your heart, look in your ear, look down your throat, and basically do all the things they can do face-to-face from hundreds of miles away.
Right. So for people with chronic conditions who maybe would have to travel frequently, mm-hmm. You know, the opportunities are really sort of endless.
Absolutely.
We maybe haven't even imagined, you know, what some of those solutions might be. Tell me about that. Tell me about sort of imagining the solutions that have yet to be created. Because I remember we did a story on Avera's eCare, and this notion of, you know, having someone come into an emergency room and the doctor there being able to communicate with the doctor somewhere else. And one of the surprise benefits was, if you live in a small town in South Dakota, the person who just came in after the car accident might be your cousin, mm-hmm. you know, might be someone that, you know, you went to school with. And that adds a whole new dimension. Well, now you've got backup and someone who's also walking you through stuff that kind of help you as a provider through that emotional journey as well. So there's things that I don't even know that was part of the plan, but that was something that they realized was happening. So talk about sort of laying this groundwork for having the imagination to see the thing that no one's thought of yet and to move toward it.
I think those innovations come along as these initiatives grow and you find out maybe some unintended consequences on the positive side of, gosh, this is a great way to do this. The collaboration part of it is really incredible because, you know, providers today, you know, they see what's in front of them. They've had training and they're experts in every field, obviously. So when you've got someone in a smaller community that might not have a particular specialty in an area, they can get online with someone else who does have that. And it's like having another consultant in the room with you. And that's when that collaboration process starts. And one doctor may see something that he or she has never seen before. Mm-hmm. And the person on the other end has dealt with that same situation 100 times. It can say, do this, do this, do this, and kind of guide them through the process. So that's, you know, the collaboration part of it. Finding out different ways of morphing that same system into a different area. Obviously, we've got these telemedicine ports all over the state and all over the region and, you know, rapidly across the country. Is what's next for that? What's the next application? And one thing that we've found is in the behavioral, mental health side of things, that right. why not build a system that does those same things with other physicians through behavioral health? And that's the initiative that we just launched a couple of weeks ago with a $7.8 million grant to Avera to build out those systems because folks either don't have access to quality behavioral health where they live or they don't want to go. And that's part of it too, you know, taking away some of the stigma of that, making it easier to come by, making it more readily available. All those things guide into that. That may or may not have been an intent when telemedicine first started. Right. As they went, okay, we've got this area covered. Where's the next area of need? Let's move into that.
How do you listen to the people? I mean, when people are applying for a grant or you're kind of sorting through ideas and needs and you know, hopes, how do you listen and kind of match with, you know, what's possible, what's going to be successful, and encourage people who maybe aren't quite ready, you know, like, this is a great idea, but like, how do you develop those ideas into something that is a winning grant proposal, worth funding, worth partnering with? Because not everybody's going to get it right the first time with what they might see a need, but not quite know how to
address
it. Yeah.
I think the key there is just listening. You know, it's certain entities in this world have an idea of how they want things to be, and they say, okay, we're going to do this, and this is how it's going to be. I think one thing that Helmsley does is identify those areas first off, and then talk to people. about what the needs are on the ground. It's not a one-size-fits-all proposition of this is what we're going to do, you're going to go there. We're very blessed to have one of Helmsley's trustees, Walter Panzer, lives here in South Dakota. Walter's got an unbelievable background in law enforcement as well as EMT and other emergency services like that. So he's got a unique perspective, and he's very good at listening to the people on the ground and finding out what they need in each particular location that might not be what another location. What works in Rapid City doesn't work in Sioux Falls, obviously, and vice versa in different situations. And what might work in a small community in one part of the state might not work in another, depending on what the situations are, what providers are available, all those factors.
This is largely a conversation about rural health care, but the impact of a successful partnership, a successful grant, also has great economic development potential where people can stay where they want to stay instead of saying, when my kids grow up, they can't really be here because, there's no place for them to work. There's no place for them to access that health care that they are expecting to be able to access. Tell me a little bit about the long-term sort of economic consequences of some of these programs to the economic future of small-time South Dakota.
Well, that's a big part of it, Lori, because if you look at what happens in communities, small communities that are losing grocery stores, losing high schools, consolidating, all those things, and you see kind of the decline in population in small communities. Healthcare is a big driver. People who want to live in certain parts of the country, certain parts of our state or across the Midwest, wherever, want access to things. And if you have better healthcare access in a small community through telemedicine or an on-site provider or some of that latest technology, it's going to help those small towns grow. And that's a definite, not necessarily, it's not a side effect of what we do, but it's a good consequence that comes along with that.
Yeah. I know you're not here to brag and you already got the job and all that, but why you? What do you think you bring to this table, and what are you hoping that that you can, it's too early to think about, 5 years from now, what's my legacy? I'm not asking a big question like that, but just a simple, I'm excited to do this and I think I'm the right person for the job because why?
Well, when things come along that seem like a perfect fit, for me, this was a perfect fit for me. I think what I bring to Helmsley is my background through different areas that help make these situations work out. When you build a grant from the ground up and you want it to be successful and sustainable and help people in the long run, there are a lot of moving parts. Sometimes it's government and of working with lawmakers. Sometimes it's community development. Sometimes it's just sitting down with folks who are on the ground. I'm a relationship guy who's had a long career in communications and advocacy. So I think the combination of all those things together made it a really good fit for me, and hopefully a great fit for Helmsley too, as we can continue to provide this grant money and these desperately needed services that are going to help people across our state and across the upper Midwest.
Yeah. We look forward to hearing more from you in the future. Mitch Krebs is the new director of the Rural Healthcare Program through the Helmsley Trust. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thanks, Lori.